Try, there we got it. There we go. Okay, we are in the book of Joshua, and I am going to try, all joking aside, I'm going to try to stay out of the rabbit holes this morning. But, you know, we will see. First off, quick review, which normally takes about an hour and a half. But anyway, we'll speed it up because, you know, we want to watch the pregame show. Anyway, not that there's anything happening today. We can't use the magic words, but we can use the words, the big game. Okay, so yeah, it's copyrighted. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about Jericho, and it's going to take us a few weeks. It'd be my guess. Okay, all joking aside. But the quick review is this. Number one, for us to be and do what God's called us to be and do, it's going to take obedience. Okay? And in the middle of obedience, there's the word die. That means dying to our flesh. It means dying to our past. It means dying to those voices in your head that are saying, you can't do it. You're not good enough. We're going to have to die to some of that stuff. Okay. Then the next thing that happened, I mean, he talked about, obedience. He talked about the law. And then the next thing he talks about is and shows us that in that 40 years in the wilderness, they had not been circumcised. And we won't go too far down there. It's okay. All right. But here's the deal. What that represents is one word. Covenant. Because what they're saying is, Lord, there is no part of me that you don't have all of. And that's what it takes. It takes obedience and then us to understand, remember, and stand on the fact that there is not one part of us that God is not in control of. And guess what? Covenant works both ways. And what covenant means is that everything he had, I mean, he told us, he said, pray for stuff. Guess what? I want to bless you. I want to do things. I want to do miracles in your life. And the power of God is at your disposal, but we have either learned by misguided stuff, religious stuff. But the truth is that covenant is just as real today as it was when he broke the bread and said, hey, I've longed to enter into this new covenant with you. And that was the covenant meal. And as you study covenant, and then there was a blood sacrifice shortly thereafter, wasn't it? The most precious, valuable, wonderful lamb there's ever been was sacrificed so that to make that covenant complete. So let's renew that thought process. Let's renew the knowing and walking in the fact that we're his covenant children. We are adopted we are grafted in. We are kids of the Most High God. And he is our dad. And he says, come to him as our Father who art in heaven. Is that what he says? Okay. Is that the truth? Okay. And you're sometimes our guilt, shame, whatever, voices from the past. No, that can't be true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It is true. So here's the deal. Then we talk a lot about forgetting at this church, forgetting those things that are past. But there are some things we need to remember, because as they were going through that dry land, as that water pushed back, right, crossing the Jordan, he said, get some rocks, get some big rocks, and then build a memorial on the other side. And when you see that, it will remind you that God is our deliverer. Is God your deliverer? Yes. Okay. That's, and people, yeah, I am a preacher, full disclosure. Have been for a long time. Didn't want to be, but I am. But here's the point, all joking aside. Hey, you need to get around people who reminds you that God is our deliverer. Okay, you need to have a testimony that you tell people. It says, "Hey, God is my deliverer." You need to remember those things. We are forgetting those things that are in the past, the stuff that we don't need to drag around with us because, you know, baggage is heavy, right? Okay, it's hard to run a race when you're carrying your recliner with you of leisure, and it's hard to run a race if you're dragging your baggage from the past. So let's just throw that off, okay, and get a folding chair that we can take us instead of recliner. Okay, so then he says these words, "Be strong and be of good courage." Be strong. And it's almost like you'd think and you'd say, "Well, you know, Bruce, I'm just not that strong." You know, in our vernacular, I hear this occasionally, "Suck it up, buttercup," okay, "cowboy up," "get on with it," you know, all these things. But here's the deal. That's the kind of, sometimes that's the decision that we make. I have a teacher that I listen to from time to time. He's a past special forces guy. And something he said years ago when I was listening to him, he said, "Courage is not an emotion. Courage is an action. Are you willing to believe what God says and go forward with that action?" Okay. He says, "Be strong, be of good courage." These are all reminders. And this last one is kind of interesting. He said, what happened is when people saw what God was doing in rolling back the Jordan, what God was doing in their lives, guess what it did? It put the fear of God on the people around. And it wasn't even them showing up with a sword or them doing, it was just knowing the story. And when people see the story in your life, it glorifies God. And you know, the fear of God is the beginning of righteousness. That's the first thing it starts. We understand that, hey, there is a God. That awe, that what? You know, so, and I know some of you guys have remember that and been there. So I talked about this last night, by the way. I did a little short video last night, but something came to me yesterday and studying something has nothing, it does have everything to do with this, but in a different part of the Bible. In the beginning, but in Exodus, when Joshua was hanging out with Moses, okay, he is called his young assistant. I love that. I don't know why. And Moses and his young assistant went to the mountain. Think about all the time that Joshua spent, because he was literally there up on that mountain, not exactly where Moses was, but right hearing the rumblings, hearing the voice, being in the presence of God. And when I saw this, I was like, no wonder. So Joshua and Caleb, when they went in 40 years before, and Joshua, everybody said, "Oh, you're not gonna believe it. There's all these giants over here, and they got this and they got that." Because they hadn't been in the presence of the Lord, they didn't know how big God was. They're looking at, well, we got 2,000 army people in the army, and they got 3,000. They're looking at circumstances. You know what Joshua was making his decisions based on? Knowing God, being in the presence of God, and seeing. At one point, the presence of God comes and God literally says, "Hey, full disclosure." Okay, this is not the King James. Okay, "Full disclosure, don't let your donkeys, cows, sheep get on the mountain because it'll kill them. I'm so strong that when I land on the mountain, it'll kill them. Keep your animals back." Is that power? Yes. Is that glory? Is that magnificent? And we think, well, you know, the devil's here and, yeah, God's a little more powerful. No, God is God. He is the God of angel armies. And when you spend time in his presence, you realize that he's big enough. He's God enough for he was, is, and is to come. He's good. He's powerful enough for your past. He's powerful enough for your present, and he's powerful enough for your future. He is holding you in his hand. Let's give him glory that he deserves and power that he deserves. Let's quit saying, well, you know, that's my belief system. Yeah, I'm not going to use that example. Okay, we'll keep going. All right, so here's the deal. He was in that presence. So as he leads these men and women to this new path, he's not thinking, I hope God's enough. And here's what's interesting. Last week we talked about this. He says, he shows up, and of course, the angel of the army of the Lord is out there, and I have now come, and Joshua fell on his face and worshiped him. And he said, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. And he says, look, as he has no problem worshiping. And I want to tell you something. Last night when I was up here praying and seeking God, I have no problem worshiping. You know why? Because I know who he is. Now, I don't know him in his completeness, and we never will until we're there. Okay? I see darkly. I'm not trying to say I've got any kind of deep insight, but I'm going to tell you something. I've spent time in his presence, and I want to tell you, Joshua didn't say, well, you know, you sure I should take off my shoes, or you sure I should worship, or no, because he understood. He had been there in the presence of God. So, watch this. Now, Jared, that was the quick review, okay. Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. That's the first point this morning. Okay. Here's a question. Do you believe that God is God? And I don't mean that he's a creator, all that. I'm talking about, is he God of God in your life? Is he able to give you your promised land? Is he able to give you your city? Some of us are looking toward the promised land of heaven. And hey, guess what? I want to go there. Okay, seriously. But I want to fulfill everything in this vehicle that I ride, that my spirit rides around with, in this world, in this life that he has for me. I don't want one day to be stolen or robbed. I don't want one soul not to come to Jesus. I want everything he has for me. I want it all. I'm greedy, but I want it all. If he don't want me to have it, that's my prayer. My prayer to him absolutely is, God, I want what you want me to have, and I don't want nothing that you don't want me to have. So anyway, I don't do that perfectly, by the way. Surprise, surprise. Okay. So then he says, he said, look, it's yours. I've given Jericho in your hand, the king and this mighty men of valor, and the mighty men of valor. Now he has a plan for that city. Now, guys, I just got to tell you, this is just, I just got to lay it out there for you, full disclosure. I may be slightly impatient from time to time, just this much, okay? And when I hear this plan, I think, seems like to me we're wasting time. looks like my battery went out. I don't even know what kind it uses. I'll just keep going. Can y'all hear me? You can't move up. But anyway, sorry. But I'll speak up. How's that? Like that right there, like he's preaching the old days. Okay. So here's the deal. Literally, guys, as we go forward, okay, he has a plan for your life, for you to take your Jericho, for you to take your promised land. And your plan may not, okay, they all include the commander, okay, Jesus, okay? We're all following Jesus, but guess what? You to take your city, it may take a different plan than it does me. When I look at this, this looks like a waste of time. Listen, if I was God, I would have had this whole world wrapped up and we'd all be, he'd be back, he'd be on the throne, we'd be, you know, I mean, hey, it'd be, take about 20 minutes, okay? But the bottom line, you need it? Okay.
I'm not sure it's.
You're right. Yeah. So, literally, guys, as we go forward, he's got a plan. Yours looks different. I wish they were all the same. I wish I had one of them Play-Doh machines. Remember from the 60s and 70s, you had the Play-Doh machines. You put the little shape in there. You cram the Play-Doh in. You cut off, and you can cut them off, and they're all little stars. We can all be little green stars. No, his plan for you is different, okay? And when I learned that by studying the Bible. I learned that by looking at the difference between what he had for David, what he had for Solomon, what he had. Is it working now? Oh.
Yeah, it works.
Oh, man. I thought maybe I'd hurt myself. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate how many of you guys appreciate brothers and sisters to help you? Yeah. So, you know, I could have been so proud. I don't need any help. I could just do it. No. Help me. Okay, I think that was an old song. I hope if I get cut off my wind with this thing around my neck, please help me. Okay. Anyway, so literally, guys, he has a plan for you, and I wish it would go faster, but not this sermon. I'm just talking. Some of y'all are saying, yeah, you know, what'd you say for us? There's just a little difference between a hostage situation and a long sermon. Yeah, okay, that kind of hurts my feelings. Thank you. I've been in both of those, by the way. Okay, but anyway. So he had this march around the city. You men of war, you shall go around the city once for 6 days. So what are they doing in the meantime? I mean, you know, you go out there and you march around the city. We did the geography on it one time. The city was roughly the size of if you're familiar with Crane, the city that the walled portion of that area was roughly the size of this neighborhood, all the way over to the grocery store, all the way over to some of the other neighborhood. It just wasn't that. It just doesn't seem to be that huge. It's not like they're marching 18 miles around there. So what do they do the rest of that day? Okay. I mean, that's a waste of time, you know, from a management point of view. Maybe we could have them polishing their swords. But anyway, but the point is that they did that 6 days. And what's this? And then you should do this for 6 days around it once. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Okay, now look at that right there. The presence of the Lord. We don't want to do anything without what? The presence of the Lord. You get out there in the flesh and yeah, you can accomplish some stuff, but will it have any eternal significance? Trumpets of ram horn before the ark, but on the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times and it's the priest shall blow the trumpets. Guys, there's another story about a king in the Bible, Jehoshaphat, and I'll tell it very quick. The Jerusalem's about to be overrun, and the guy, the heathen king, sends him a message and says, you're dependent on that God of yours, and it's not going to work. We're going to come, and we're going to make a bunch of threats. He goes and puts it out before the Lord and prays. How many of y'all ever put something out before the Lord and prayed? Yeah. Do that when you need. Don't just pray when something bad happens, but yeah, keep praying. But the point is this. He then was directed to send the army out, but send the musicians out first. Can you imagine all those redneck guitar players going, what? I want the bazookas out first, not the guitars. Okay? And as they begin to worship and praise God, they begin to destroy themselves as they come out against the army. And they won that battle because they were obedient to God. And listen, that don't make sense, does it? You know, if I was picking out people to do stuff for God, I probably wouldn't pick out some of the people in the Bible. I'd say, ain't y'all got a better candidate, right? And you know that story. We've told said it many times. Okay, so here's the deal. They do that, and it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people, not some of the people. Now, this is important, okay? Write this down, underline it. All the people shall shout. You have a role to play at Crane Christian Church. You have a role to play in Crane, Missouri. You have a role to play in this town, in this region, in this spiritual battle. Are you shouting? Because it don't say all the good folks shout. All of us, you know, that are over 5'10" shout. All those under, no, all the Presbyterians, all the Christian church, all the Methodist church, all the Pentecostals, all the Catholics. No, it says all shout. Are you shouting this morning? And listen, I'm not talking about actually hollering, so try to be quiet because you know I'm easily distracted. But anyway, but the point being is this. Are you being obedient to what God's called you to do? You have a role here, wherever you're at, in your job, and you have a role, okay? So then, guys, as they do that, then the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So these walls are going to fall, okay? But then they don't want you going off to the right or the left. God says, no, go straight across from where you're at. In other words, tend to your own business. Take care of what's in front of you. We're always trying to help somebody else because, you know, I know a little more about that than you do. No, is there a time for us to get together and talk and be there for one another? Absolutely, guys, 100%. But let's tend our own business first. I can tell you, it's really hard. Let's just pretend, this is in the Bible, by the way. Take your gaggle and look at it. But Google, okay, whatever. So what's this? Let's just pretend that you was working in my yard and you got a big splinter in your finger, a big thorn in your finger, whatever. And you said, Bruce, this is really hurting. I can't finish. Can you help me get this out? And I go in there and I say, yeah, you know, I've done this before. Let's get the tweezers out and the knife and I'll do it behind my back like Jimi Hendrix used to play his guitar. Okay, we'll do it with mirrors. We'll put mirrors, set it up. Would you feel comfortable with that? No. You might think that's kind of a bad idea. Why don't you get your mind on your own business, turn around, look at it, right? Sometimes, and the Bible says a different way, how do I get the small thing out of your eye, the speck out of your eye, with me having a log in my eye? Because, you know, every time I see that picture, I see somebody turning their head and that log hitting those people around them. You know, I'm serious. It's like I saw what's too much Three Stooges. But the point being is this, guys. Literally, we are always ready to make sure somebody else knows exactly what they need to do when we don't look in the mirror ourselves. The scalpel of the word, we were always ready to operate on somebody else without allowing the Holy Spirit to operate on us. And does that make sense? Okay, so just see that this morning. Every man straight before him. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said, take up the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, this is all with the Ark, which then is both the physical representation and for us is a picture of the presence of God. We don't want to be out there in the flesh. We want to be following the presence of God, following the direction of God. And here's the deal. Oh, I got worked up over this. So then the people proceeded to march around the city, led his arm before the ark of the Lord. So when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests bearing, and they did that, and they went there and they commanded the people, don't shout or make any noise. So they had to mind, they had to pay attention before the seventh day. So be quiet. Sometimes, is it ever time to be quiet? Yeah, sometimes we just yap. And the ark of the Lord circled the city going around at once, and they came to the camp and lodged at the camp. And then he got up the next morning, did the same thing, second day, and the seventh time, we're down to verse 16, the seventh time it was when the priest blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction and all who are in it. But watch this. Only who? Rahab. You remember Rahab? She's the girl who didn't quite have it all together. But I'm going to tell you what. She feared the Lord. She helped the Lord and entered into a covenant. And this is what, if you go back to that, study it later, I'm going to tell you what happened. Literally, guys, they just said, look, you got to stay in your house when this happens and put this red cord out the window so we know not to tear your house down and kill everybody in your house. Guess what? What would have happened if she really cared greatly about her chihuahua? Let's not use chihuahuas. Because one that almost killed my dog one time, he almost choked to death on one. So anyway, but the point being is literally, guys, so her friend, okay, or her family, and the family says, well, I ain't getting in that house. I don't care. You know what? I ain't never had to get in that house before. I knew it my way. Now, if he'd have been out there in somebody else's house, what would have happened when those walls fell and those people walked straight across and started wiping out everybody in that city? Would they have died? But guess what? What about their other family member who never really had it all together? Just never really had it all together. But guess what? Rahab says, hey, this is going to be bad here in a minute. You need to get in the house. He goes, okay. And he gets in the house. Would he have lived? It's a beautiful picture, and it goes all the way back. It goes to this. It goes to the ark that Noah built. Everybody in the ark lived, and everybody outside of the ark died. Is that what happened? During the Passover, everybody that had blood on their doorpost followed the Passover, the directions, and they stayed in the house. Did they live or did they die? They lived. Okay. The Red Sea, okay, when they're crossing the Red Sea out of Exodus, those who walked across there and went to the other side, and then the army that was following them, guess what? They weren't supposed to be there, and what did they do? They died. They were in the wrong place, right? And that is a picture over and over and over. And Jesus says it like this. He says, build your house on the rock and the storm's going to come, but you're going to stand. It's going to be okay. Are you building your house on the rock of Jesus? Are you building your house on religion, on I'm a good person, I'm going to be fine? No, build your house on the rock of Jesus. And here's the deal. I'm going to close with this. I love the fact that verse 18, it says, only Rahab, or 17, the city shall be doomed by destruction, only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all who are in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent, and you by all means keep yourselves from the accursed items. And you say, Bruce, what is that? And I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, okay? But some other time, maybe we can get into it. you're going to see, because this is going to bother some of you guys, and if it doesn't, you don't think as much as I do. Okay. So this God of grace, this God of mercy, this God of covenant literally came into whole nations, and they were all destroyed. And the ones that were destroyed, even down to the animals, as you do the historical dig into their culture, they were worshiping demonic entities. And you go, Bruce, oh, here we go, you know. And I think they were UFOs. No, no. Okay, listen to what I'm saying. This is not what we're talking about. Listen carefully. What I am talking about is this. There are abominable things that you need to stay away from. And as you, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. And you take the accursed things and you make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come to the treasure of the Lord. And here's the deal. You'll always be able to see, it's when they do this, when they use the word accursed, it's always everything that's breathing. So we talked earlier about the demons, okay, that were first ever registered swine flu, when the swine flew off the cliff, and the second ever recipe for deviled ham. But anyway, but the point being is this, they actually went into those animals, didn't they? Okay, so doing this, worshiping these demons, doing this stuff had brought these spirits into this world. And here's the deal, they had to be destroyed. They had to have nothing to live in. But here's what happened, guys. Verse 20, and this is what I want to proclaim over you and what God's called you to do and be. So when the people shouted, when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout and the wall fell down. Now, what are we talking about? I'm talking about your limitations in the body of Christ. I'm talking about bondages that we fight. I'm talking about addictions, obstacles, the Goliaths in our lives. I'm talking about all these things. And everybody had a role in this victory. And as they went up to the city, every man straight before him, they took the city. Not Joshua, not Billy Bob, not Radel, okay? No, they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. And it was all destroyed by the edge of the sword. And Joshua said to the two men who had spied the country, go to the harlot's house, and there bring out the woman, all she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies with her brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. And they brought her out to the relatives, and they left them outside the camp of Israel. They wanted to make sure they were safe. They wanted them to make sure they were safe. They got them out and they knew who it was. They had the cord hanging out the window, and everybody that was hanging on to that bunch, they survived the initial wall fall, and then they were moved out, and then they burnt the entire city, and they were kept because they were in covenant with God by being in covenant with the Israelites. Is that what happened? Do you think God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is he or not?
Yes.
Okay. You say, well, yeah, but you know, he don't do that kind of stuff anymore. Well, yeah. I'm a mellower version than I was. Okay, never mind. Okay. We'll leave that alone. So here's the deal. Literally, guys, I know that this story meant an enormous amount to me the first time that I did the deep dive on it in the 80s. It spoke to me on a level that that I'd heard the story before, I'd read the story before. I mean, I'd seen the flannel graph of the story before. But until I realized that obedience, the death to my preconceived ideas, until I experienced that and stretched my faith, and God has taken that tiny offering and multiplied it many times over. So God, we give you these people, both online and here personally, God. Let them stretch and be obedient to you, Lord, and help us to turn down the volume of this world. God, help us to ease back on the listening to all the chatter, and instead, Lord, get in your presence and let it build us our faith. And Lord, then we can hear you, oh God, as you tell us to take the city. So Lord, whatever this wall thing is in our life, Lord, whatever these concern, whatever it is, God, it's different for all of us, God. But let us move forward with you and produce fruit, God. Amazing fruit for generations to come. And Lord, we give you our lives. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace.